Okay, today's daf is daf Chaf Beis. So we got to the bottom of Chaf Aleph and Beis, the new Mishnah. The Mishnah tells us that Masnisin Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov Omer Behema Gasa Sheshafafa Chareves Dam Arezu Tekaver Uptura Min Bechara. Let's say you have a mother, a cow, a large animal, and some amounts of blood comes out, different pieces of flesh come out, unclear what it is, but it's a big chunk of blood. So the din is you have to bury it. There's an assumption that this is the first. She's never had any calves before, never gave birth before. So there's an assumption that there's a bechor there. So you have to bury it. It's a din in burying it. And she's potter from any further offspring or potter from bechor. Rashi just explains here the last three lines of Rashi. Harezu tukave hacharara. You have to bury this, this chunk of blood. Zasur b'hana, the shem of lad zachar hayak. We don't know if it was a female or a male. So perhaps it was a male, so therefore it's Bechor. So you bury it, and it was Nimuk, it became disintegrated of some sort, you can't recognize it. Bekadosh b'Bechora b'tziyasim became Kadosh as it came out from the cow, and therefore you bury it, and the further animals are Pater mina Bechor. That's the Mishnah in the name of Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov. So Gemara says, Tani Rabbi Chia, Michia taught in the Braisa, Eina matame lo b'magav lo b'masa. It's not matame. What matame would it be? Which tumah? But tumas nevela. We know there's tumas nevela. Tumas nevela. Nevela animal is tumah b'maga. It's also tumas b'masa if you carry it. So this din, it's not matame, not b'maga, lo b'masa. So the Gemara asks, meacher deinu matame, lo b'maga, lo b'masa, amai tekaver. So if we're saying there's no din or nevela to it, which means it's not really basar, so then if it's not really basar, so then it shouldn't require kvur either. It's nothing. It's nothing. There's no bechor to speak of here. So the Gemara explains that kedei lefarsima sheniftera mina bechora. You're right. Really, even though there's no nevela here, there's no basa here. It's all batel berov, and there's no need. There's no tumas nevela. And really, mikadin there shouldn't be an issue of eserna either because it's all batel berov. But still, since it's we want to just advertise the fact that any further offspring won't be a bechora. This was the bechora. It happens to be there's no halach lemaisa right now because the basar is all nimuk, it's all disintegrated. There's no real din of kvur, there's no tumas magamasa. We want to require a kvur just to be a farsim that any further animals born to this cow is niftara min bechora. So Gemara says, really, this further offspring will be pata from a bechora. The meimer de vlad ma'ayahu. Really, it's a vlad? You're telling me this, then if it's saying other additional offspring that are born, that means this first dam harara is really vlad ma'alma. If it's a vlad ma'alya, amai ein matame lo b'magav l'masa. If it really is a vlad and exempts further offspring from bechor, so why is it not going to be matame in tumas nevela? So Gemara says, Amar Yochanan mishim bitul barov naguba. This issue here is a bitul barov. Rashi explains here that the baser of the vlad is bitul barov with all the dam and all the other things that come out of the cow, and therefore it's bitul barov. So it was a vlad in terms of exempting, it was considered peterechem, but it's not tumas magamasa because it's batel berov. But as the Rabbi Yochanan letame, Rabbi Yochanan goes according to his shita, Damar Rabbi Yochanan said that Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, Rabbi Shimon, Amru davar echad. These two great Tanaim said the same thing. What do they say? Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov had the Amran, our Mishnah here, that he says is counted the batel berov, and Rabbi Shimon Mahi, the Tanaim the Mishnah tells us the Maseches Nida, Hashulya bebayis. Let's say there's a shulya in the house. So that's the afterbirth. So that's if that's in the house. So the din is, and it's tamei here a person, a human being. We know Adam meis is tamei be'olam. So if you have a shulya bebayis, a bayis tamei, and the bayis is tamei. Lo shel shulya vlad. Not that the shulya is a vlad because the shulya isn't a vlad. Elish ain shulya below vlad. If there's a shulya, if there's an afterbirth, that indicates clearly that there was a vlad there as well, and therefore, even though we don't see the Vlad, there's Tumas Oel, there's Tumas Mace in this house. Comes along Rabbi Shimon, and Rabbi Shimon says in that mission, Maseches Nida, Rabbi Shimon Omer, Vlad Nimuk Ad Shlo Yatza. The Vlad was had been disintegrated in the Shilya, into all the blood there, and therefore it's not Tameh. Rashi explains here, Rabbi Shimon Omer, Havlad Nimuk, it's around 6-7 narrow lines down in Rashi. Umokmin and Hasam, there the Gemara establishes the time of the Rabbi Shimon. What's the reason why Rabbi Shimon says this? Damar Abai is Tahar. Why does he think it's Tahar? If there's a Shilya, that means there's a Vlad. If there's a Vlad, that means it's Tumas Meis. Mishum Bitul Barov Nagaba. Because, granted, there was a Vlad there. But since a Vlad had disintegrated amongst all the blood and all the other things that came out, therefore Bitul Barov. So we see in these two places that Bitul Barov does affect the status of Tuma, and we say it's Tahar in both cases. This is Rabbi Yochanan's Shita of Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov and the Shita of Rabbi Shimon. Okay. Gemara now says, Tanan Hasa, Misha tells us in Maseches Olos, the din of ein nefalin, ein nefalin, ella the psichas akaver achi agilu rosh kepika. So the Gemara says there, when it comes to nefalim, look at Rashi to explain what's going on here. In terms of psichas kever, Rashi explains here that isha shemes ubra b'me'eha. Let's say the woman's fetus dies, stillborn. The yashra al mashmin, she's sitting down in the birthing stone. The niftach kever harechem, and her legs open up. But bay b'ayze, below yasa vlad, the vlad doesn't come out yet, but there's an opening in that makom. V'otziu lebay b'ayze acher. Tameh habayis harishon kilo nolad sham, and then they remove the stillborn in a different house. So in the first house she was in, there was psichas kever, and the fetus had been dead already. But still, even though since it's opened up, we view it keilu nolad sham tuma bokas. We view it as if it was already born. So if there's enough of an opening of psichas kever, so then the din is that there's tumas ohel in that house. So the Gemara explains how much does it have to open up. So again, back inside, ein l'nefalim psichas hakever ad shiagilu rosh kapika, unless it opened up the size of the whorl. My kapika, what does that mean exactly? Of the that's what you define it in English. That's what part of the
distance placed on the
spindle. So Amar Rav Huna kapika shel tzemer, in terms of where the wool goes on when it comes to weaving things, that's the area of the pika where the wool goes. So Amar Lechia Barav le Rav Huna Rebbe Parish al Shisi al Shel Erev, whether it's the warp or the woof, these different things, whatever they mean, and in terms of weaving, that's the size of how big the opening has to be. So Amar Le, it says Tani, the Brisa tells us a pika shel Shisi. Divrei Rebbe Meir, Rebbe Yehuda Omer Shel Erev. So the machlok is which part of the weaving thing is it's the size that how open the psichas kever. Rebbe Elazar, Rebbe Tzadik, Omer, Mishiro, Tefivis. When you see different parts of the Rechem, that's what indicates how Psichas HaKever is defined. My Tefivis, what exactly is Tefivis? What part of the Rechem is it referring to here? So, Amar Yehuda, Amar Shmuel, Mishim, Rebbe Elazar, Rebbe Tzadik. It says, Kachay, Mefarshin, Bishlam, then Yishlam, they explain as follows. Kifreda, Shekarash, Lahat, Mimeha. When a female mule is crouching down to go to the bathroom, veneers pika mitoch pika, you see the different inside of the rechem, that's how open it has to be in order to define psichas kever. So there are three shitas of how much psichas kever necessary in order to view the opening as if the vlad that's been dead to come out, to view it as it coming out, to establish that there's tumas ohel in that bias. So Amar Rav Huna, Rav Huna says, Shemati shtei pikos, I have a masor about two different pikos, I wasn't sure how to apply each one. When is the shel shasi relevant, and when is the shel shel erev relevant? So Kiyotzer Rav Dimi came back from Eretz Yisrael. He returned to Babel. He had quoted Amar Rav Yochanan. He quoted from Rav Yochanan saying, Shalosh pikos shemati. There were three. There are three traditions of a size of a pikos. Achas shel shasi, achas shel erev, achas shel pika gedola shel sakan. One from the warp, one of the woof, and one of a large wool used for weaving sacks, apparently. Vainly the farsh, but Rav Dimi just memorized those three traditions, but he didn't know how to understand them, how to apply these different shirim of the pikos. So Kiyasa Rabin, when Rabin also returned back from Eretz Yisrael, these two, Amaram, Rav Dimi, Rabin would come back from Eretz Yisrael. I'm not sure if they went back and forth many times or they came back one time and they memorized all the different statements of Rabbi Yochanan, but they're always quoting Rabbi Yochanan. So when he came back, Pirsha Mishrei Rabbi Yochanan, he came, not only did he say the tradition, but he explained the tradition as follows. Shel Isha Kishel Shisi. When it comes to psichas kever of an isha, so that you need the size of a shisi, of pika shel shisi. Shel behema comes of the animal, opening up the animal, that's bishel erev. And pika gadol shesakayim, what's the application of that? Kedetan, the Mishnah tells us if you have a gush habami beis pras, if you would take a large mound of earth from a beis pras. Beis pras is an area where we're not sure if there's a tumas. There's tumas mace has been mixed together, so we don't know where the tumas mace, where the different bones are. If you take a large gush, though, me'er ta'amim from chutzarts, shiro, kipika, gedola, shesakan. If it's the size of this whorl of a large, making large sacks, shukichosim ha'martufim, which is the same size, how they would seal different bags of storage, the yeshe betzad ha'elyon shemugufa sechaves halachmis, which is found on the upper side of this certain type of cask, that's the shear. So I'm not sure the technical the technicalities, how to understand the shir. But we see in the end of the day there are three different shirim and apply to three different halachas. Halacha one was the shir psichas kever for isha in terms of defining the vlad that comes out of a mace where there are too much ohel. With the halacha of a behema, Rashi explains, if you look at Rashi, what's the relevance of psichas kever by behema? Rashi says, shel behema shlo te ketumas blua letumas maga mishum nevela shel nefel im hoshit haroa yad venaga ba lotzi min arechem. So if the animal has a fetus that's dead inside and it touches the roa, the shepherd goes in to extract it, is that going to be considered tumas nevela or not? If it's tumah balua, if the tumah is hidden inside, it won't be metame. If you view the psichas kever as opening and then the roa touches the nevela, then he would be considered tame. Then the third one is in terms of tumas meis. We know tumas eretz amim. The Gemara Nazir tells us that there's a tumah midrabanan. We assume that based on perhaps the mabul that there's the dead bodies all over the place here. So a person goes outside. There's a certain tumah midrabanan. So a person touches a certain size, a mound of dirt from eretz amim, from chutz laretz. So then, if it's the size of that pika shel sakin, so then we assume the person is tameh. Okay. Gemara now says around 12, 15 lines down up from the Chaf Beis Amud Beis here. Amud Aleph rather. Amar Reish Lakish. Reish Lakish explains Mishum Rabbi Yehuda Nisiya Halokeach Tzir. Different topic now. Me'am Aretz. A person buys some fish brine from a guy. Mishayaku b'mashiku b'mayim. He should now have it kiss Nishika, touch water. V'tahar Mimanov Shach. It's going to become tahar no matter how you look at it. So what's the concern here? The concern is that when you buy tzir from the brine, from a goy, am aretz, we assume this tumas am aretz, tumas zav. The Gemara assumes he's not careful with his tumas vatara. So therefore, if he were to touch mashku, if he were to touch liquid, he's metamia. So now you want to eat it with something that's tahor. How do you make it tahor? So by having the brine touch water, that's a way of being metamia. How? So Gemara explains, if most of the tzir is really made up of water and just a little fish brine in there, but it's mostly water, well, kaven David le hashaka tarulo. So the halacha is, if you have mayim, let's say forget tzir, forget the brine, you have just mayim that's tame. If you were to connect the mayim tame to a mikvah, that hashaka will actually make the mayim tame into tahor. So if most of the tzir is water, so then you've connected the two, it's hashaka works. Let's say most of the tzir itself is most of the brine is actual tzir. There's very little water in it. It's mostly pure fish brine. So tzir lo bar kibula tumahu. Tzir is not subject to being makabel tumah. Why not? Rashi explains that tzir is zeya ba'alma. And zeya ba'alma is not really considered food or liquid. It's just zeya. It's just a little sweat. And therefore, we don't recognize a substance as being any really food or drink. So it's not tameh. The tzir itself isn't tameh. So what's tameh by the tzir? So it must be, so again, tzir lar bar kabule tumahu. Ma'ika, what is the concern of tzir being tameh then, if most of it's tzir itself? Mishum hanach miyut demayer. So there's a little bit of water that's in there. Every brine has a little bit of water to dilute it, to whatever the reason is. So that little water became tameh from the amharetz. And hanach ba'le le beruba, and that's going to be batel berov, and therefore, batel the rov of the tzir, and there's nothing to talk about. So that's it. Everyone with me on this? So the din is, just look at Rashi, how this works exactly. Look at Rashi, v'tahor mimanav shach. It's three medium wide lines down, Rashi says. V'tahor mimanav shach. Divad mai muravim bo. The tzir definitely has water mixed in. There's no question. You never have pure 100% tzir. V'imai aruba. If most of the tzir is made up of water, u'batel tzir, and the tzir is considered the minority, the tzir is batel barova. And the tzir is makabel tumah because of the water that's there. So salkalei the tefillah bashaka. You should somehow connect the tzir to a tefillah, to a mikvah. Shenosin at kli b'mikvah, you have a kli of the brine and you put it into the mikvah. Acha over meha mikvah alpiv, until the mikvah waters overlaps on top of the tzir. V'noshkin im hamayim shebesocha kli, and it kisses the water that's in the kli, in the tzir. The afagav, even though in general, the ochel mashka less hatara b'mikvah. Even though if I have something, a food item or a drink that becomes tameh, normally placing to the mikvah doesn't help food or drink. My asalku lo shaka. Mayim is unique. Water is unique because a shaka does work. To have it kimisha zarin v'choz v'nolans, as if you planted, as if you put the water in, and now it became batel to the mikvah, and then you removed it once again. So that's a special heter by mayim. But we see from this that a person wants to be metaher, tzir, that's born from the amaret, you just perform hashaka, and that accomplishes the goal. So then comes along the Gemara now, last seven lines of the Amud here, Amar Rebbe Yirmiyahu. Lo shanu elo litvo behem pito, aval kader lo. It's only true if a person wants to dip some bread into the tzir, into the brine. Person wants to, let's say, put it into a kadeira, a pot, and pot. We cook water in pot, other items in the pot, soup. So then that's not going to work. Why not? Because matzah minis mino veneer. Because the two minim are going to find each other, and it's going to reawaken the tumah. What does that mean? Look at Rashi. Rashi explains last two narrow lines here. Ela the tavel piso, aval the takin ba kadeira aser shemayim shebesochat tzir. The water that's in the tzir. Motzi'in mayim shibakadeir. It's going to find the water that you poured into now. Umitstarfen yachid for rabin alatzir umitamino. So what's going to happen here? Let's say you have the situation of the tzir that has the tumah inside of it. There's some water that's tummy, but it's a bit batel barov. There's more tzir than mayim. What happens is if you pour the tzir into a big pot of water, so now the water that's in the pot is going to find the small water of tummy in the tzir. They're going to find each other, and now all the water is going to become tamei, and that's now going to be more water tamei than there is going to be tzir.
Because it's a small pot, it would be a giant pot.
Right, if it's not rove, then it won't be a question. Only when there's rove, then it'd be giant, depends on how much tzir you're putting in. Has to be a situation where there's more water than there's tzir. So there's more water than tzir, so the water is going to find the hidden water, that tamei water that's in the tzir, they're going to find each other, and then overwhelm the tzir, and that's going to become tamei. So Yossi Rav Dimi was sitting down. The Karmela Shmais was going through this halachic discussion. And Amrlei Abai says, "V'chituma shebat lachazav niura." That true. Once you mevatel tuma, you can now reawaken that tuma. Once we say batel, it's tahor. How do you find it now? Make it tamei again. How does that work? So Amrlei Vatlo Tizver. You don't think that does work? You can't find the din where tamei becomes batel and it gets reawakened. V'atzan. The Mishnah tells us clearly in Maseches Trumos. So chuma tumeya shenafla lemeya. You have a certain amount of chuma, a sa'av chuma that falls into meya chulin tahorin, into 100 amounts of chulin. So that din is that Rabbi Elazar Omer teirum v'tirkav. So you have one chuma to 100 chulin. You take out one item, one saw, one amount, even though it may not be, it most likely not the same amount. You take out one amount that's going to be equal to the chuma that fell in v'tirkav. And you just let it become, you just let it rot. Shani Omer, I hold, he saw Shanafla, he saw Sha'alta. That the same chuma that fell is the same exact chuma that I found, and you have to remove one item. So, fine, that's the first din. So you have to remove one. According to Chacham Omer, Tala, no, we say Bittel, and since the chuma fell into 100, it's Batu B'meya, and therefore, you're not allowed to, there's no issue to do anything. Rashi does point out, Ta'alav tivata v'teachal imchaleha. You can eat it with all the chulin that's there. U'mishim gzeira, but there's a sadmur to gzeira that a person now is going to think he's eating chuma. Best thing is to do, yitain damim l'kohanim. Take the value of the chuma that's there, whatever the value, $5, and give it to the kohen, or yari menu, or remove a certain sav, a tochal l'kohanim, just as a gzeira. But really, mikra didn't say the chachamim. That's bit of a rov. That one amount of chuma falls into 100 amounts of chulin. We say bit of a rov. Vitala, v'teachal nikudim, and you're supposed to eat it when dry. You should eat it as dry. That means nikudim. Rashi explains is biyove. She brings proof in the pasuk in Yoshua that means dry. Or it says oklayos or roasted in fire, which is also there's no liquid there. Otilish with meperos or knead it with meperos. We know meperos fruit juices don't make something machshilu tuma. We want to avoid any tuma here. Oh, tischalek leitos or to separate them into small pieces of dough. Ubilvach leye b'makum echa kabeitza, as long as they're each less than a shiva kabeitza. The reason why all these options are relevant in order to avoid it becoming tame. But if there's going to be water or one of the seven liquids there, that's going to make it a hochshilu tuma. So that's what Chachamim say. Even though we say bitul barov, there's a chashash that might still become tamei, so only eat it in a dry way, or each shear should be less than a beta where it can't become tamei, or have it mixed with the fruit juices. But we see from this, though, even though it's batel, there is a chashash that it could still become tamei. But Tanya Allah, the Brisa says further, O san chulin the Rebbe Elazar, ma tehei aleim. What's the halacha of the Rebbe Elazar? Yachlu b'nekudim or klayos or yilushu b'me peros or tischalach liyisus b'vach lohei kebetzim b'makmecha. We're just repeating the same din that according to Rabbi Lazar, even though you can eat it, there are limitations of how one should eat it, again avoiding becoming tamei. So comes along Ula, four lines down in the Amud, Chaf Gimel and Aleph here. The Gemara says, "Amar Ula." Ula says, "Ma tam gzeira." So what's the reason for this? "Ma tam," Rashi says, "Ma tam lo chashvinin lo chulin." There's two lines down in Rashi. "Ma tam lo chashvinin lo chulin gemurim." Why don't we view this? The bittel completely chulin. The Rabbanan came into Batla, and the Rabbis are hold ve'isle she'ani omer. So according to right, we said before, Chachamim hold this bottle, and even though it's bottle, you have to eat it dry. And Rabbi Lazar said you took out one saw and you gave the truma away, so what's remaining should be chulin gemurim. And yet the Brayse says even Rabbi Eliezer says you have to eat it dry. So why are we concerned here of tuma if we got rid of the truma? That's the truma doesn't exist. Either we remove the truma or it's batel. Who cares how to eat it after that fact? So says the Gemara, Amar Ula Matam. He says Gzeira Shema Yavi Kav Chulin Tameim B'Makom Acher B'Kav Od Miminze. And there's a concern that you're going to have this mixture mixed with other items of chulin that are tamei. And then what's going to happen is the chulin that's hidden, that's batel, is now going to find the tamei that's there is going to now find the tuma of the chuma that's there. And then, no, I'm sorry, the rove chulin is going to find the tamei is going to find the chulin. And then it's going to say, Kevin de'ika, he wanted to say, Savar da'ap linil beruva. He thought you're going to say, it's batel berova, Kevin de'ika hai mashu. So look at Rashi to explain this. Rashi says here, Gzeir shema yavo, yavi de'icha shvinin lu taurin gamre. If it's really viewed as the items are completely tahor, either because the chuma has been removed or the chuma is batel, Ikalamechash is still chashash, kiavale kav shar chulin tamei. If you have another amount of chulin that are tamei, he might bring it in. Umarvle bakav od miminze, and you can mix it together with that same type of food. The kasavar, ibatle lakav kama biruba dai kav od. What's going to happen here is, I first have one amount of chuma, 100 amounts of chulin. The chulin is mevatel the chuma. But now let's say I bring 101 chulin of tuma. Now the 101 tuma are going to be vata the 100 amounts of chulin. So the chulin is no longer relevant, and we're going to reawaken the chuma that was hidden there in the first place. So we see there's a chashash.
So we have
of,
102 against 100.
Exactly. So it's going to be matza min es mino veneer. It's going to reawaken the tumah that had been there initially. Mm-hmm. So we see there's such a concept of tuma that's tahor, that's batel, that it gets reawakened. So Gemara says, no, there's a difference between this last case here and the case you were addressing before. Amar lei im tuma oreres tuma, tahara oreres tuma. Here, this case, tuma could reawaken tuma. The chulin tuma that we brought in can reawaken the chuma tumea that was brought in initially. Tuma can reawaken tuma. That makes sense, this last case of the chuma falling into the chulin. But tahara cannot reawaken tuma. Our case of the water, if I had the tsir, and there's a little water in the tsir, a miut of water, which is tameh, I put it into a kedera of mayim, that mayim is tahor. That even though it's the same min, water and water, one water is tameh, one water is tahor. Tahor water, waters cannot reawaken tumah waters. But tumah chulin can reawaken tumah chuma that's tameh, and that's the difference. Okay, we'll stop here. If you add...